League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hi there, and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Thanks for finding us wherever you consume podcasts, iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, as always, on the Golf News Net platform at golfnewsnet.com. I'm Mitch Lawrence in Myrtle Beach. He's Darren Bunch out there in Bakersfield, California, on the western edge, home to Rio Bravo Country Club. Darren, you're going to have so many members now that you won't be able to get a tee time.
Everybody's going to want to come play Rio Bravo. Lon already said he did.
I know. Hopefully I'll get out there one day. You can find us on social media, Darren at Getaways Golf on Twitter, at Golf Getaways on Instagram, me at Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E, literally everywhere else. We're glad you've joined us for another great Emergency 9 episode, this time following up our previous podcast with the great Lon McCarron, the one and truly only voice of poker on ESPN, after many years of doing hand-by-hand commentary, which sounds so violent for a game played sitting in a chair for the World Series of Poker. You can hear Lon's full intro. I'm not going to get into it here. The earlier podcast, his intro took about a day and a half because he's done so much stuff, so you can listen to it there. But I know we're glad to have Lon back for the Emergency 9. Correct, Darren Bunch?
I am excited as well, I guess, would be the way to say that.
Brilliant. The wordsmith that you are. Before we get Lon going on the Emergency 9, we want to thank 2Under, our great sponsor. As you hopefully know by now, listening to the podcast, great underwear, comfort, fit, a revolutionary design, truly revolutionary design, based not only on athletic performance, but you can wear it every day as well. Styles, designs, they've got it all. Plus, of course, the all-important personal asset management, utilizing 2Under's patented Joey Pouch.
Joey Pouch!
Joey!
Oh! Joey Pouch! I love the Joey Pouch. We've been saying for some time now, we simply can't live without the 2Under. We also can't live without the Joey Pouch, and you don't have to either. Use the promo code GNN20 to get 20% off your next purchase, just like I continue to do.
And you know what? I have to say, quickly throwing this in there, I have gotten rid of every other pair of underwear that I ever owned. Ever.
Both of them.
And it's now just a 2Under drawer. That's it. There's no other way to go. Go to 2Under.com. That's the number 2 and then UNDR.com. For more info, you can check it all out. Styles. The really unbelievable product. And now they've branched out and gotten into incredibly comfortable loungewear, which you're going to love. As Darren said, remember, you can use the promo code GNN20 to get 20% off your order. All right, let's get to it. Joining us once again from El Dorado County in Northern California, and it's perfect timing that he's here, Lon McCarron, on the eve of the 2018 World Series of Poker. He's been doing it since 2002, so the man knows what he's doing. This year, running through July 18th, it's starting right now, and you can find it live on ESPN, the main event in July. It's a great pleasure to have Lon McCarron back for his Emergency 9. You can find him on Twitter at Lon McCarron. Don't do it phonetically because it'll drive you nuts. That's
you know how much. Go ahead.
Let me spell it, Lon. Pipe down.
Please.
At Lon McCarron, L-O-N-M-C-E-A-C-H-E-R-N. And you're going to find his reaction to the golf travel quiz we're about to take, I'm sure, and all things pertinent to the world of poker and golf. Okay, Lon, what were you going to say about McCarron?
I was going to say, I've been working in Vegas I did a lot of fights, as I mentioned last show, forever. I mean, for a couple of decades. And why are I not the spokesperson for the Las Vegas International Airport, which everyone knows is McCarran International?
That's an excellent
point. Well,
excellent
first
point.
Of all, it's because they spell your name differently.
Oh. All right, so.
I guess that's
so probably
the best
reason. That
might
be a problem reason. With Travelocity, yeah.
That could be the best
beyond
reason.
Beyond that.
Just for the search engine, you know, things. That's a problem. But we are glad, and we maybe we'll change the name to Talking Golf Getaways All About Lon McCarran.
There we go.
And that way we'll soothe your obviously sensitive ego about the airport business. It's good to have you back, man. Are you ready for your emergency nine? I know there's a lot of pressure on.
I have been studying so hard. I have nothing else to do but work on making your shows better.
Okay, good. That was the correct answer. You get 10 points right off the
bat. It doesn't take a lot of work.
We should have a bell just when you get an answer right. Bing, bing, bing. All right, here's your first question. Your favorite course and or destination, and you've played a lot of golf, anywhere in the world?
Oh, wow. Sounds boring. I'm a California boy, and I love the courses out here. Always a treat to go down to Monterey. I mean, I know everyone says that. There are so many good courses down in that peninsula. I used to live an hour from Pebble Beach and everywhere else down there. And it's just hard to beat. I mean, when you got a public course like Pebble Beach down there, it's kind of unbeatable. I love lush, Eastern Seaboard type country club courses. I love the wooded courses up here in the further Northern California area I am, but I guess I gotta go with the Monterey courses down there and, you know, I played Pebble. So I gotta say Pebble. All right. I know it's boring. I'm sorry.
That's terrible. We should throw you off the podcast right now for saying Pebble Beach.
That's it. I'm hanging up.
Pebble Beach is a bucket lister for everyone, but you have played it. So what course or destination is at the top of your bucket list?
I'm Scottish, and so I'm aching to get out there and play. Of course, the old course is there. Any of them on the open rotation would be special for me. I've got a big bucket, so I'd love to play them all. Bandon Dunes is an embarrassing gap on my golf resume. And hey, Myrtle Beach also. I've got a friend, I'm told, who lives there. And I actually visited that friend last year. And Darren, we did not play any golf.
That's hard to believe. I visited him last week and we played two rounds.
Oh, great. You had to throw that in, didn't you?
Mitch Lawrence. Thank you.
And we didn't play because?
Weather related?
Yes. And we were drinking a lot. I think we forgot to play. I think we just forgot to play.
I think Louie dragged the golf bag somewhere where we could not find them.
My dog Louie hit it.
Monster dog took over my bed.
He did. And he's listening to this now, and he just picked up his head and went, is that Lon?
Hi, Louie.
Lon? All right. Well, you're going to get to Scotland because you have to.
Yes.
You're going to get to Bandon Dunes, although you should be locked in a closet for a month for not having been there already, as close as you are. And obviously Myrtle Beach, anytime, it's here for you.
Coming in August.
You know what we're saying? We're here for you. All right. Just let me know the dates so I can plan to be out of town. All right. Your next question. In all these places that you've played, the best place you've ever stayed, what jumps out and you go, man, if I could just go back there for a week?
All right. I'm going to qualify this with saying I did not get to play a full round. I got to hit balls. And so I'm the guest and I'm going to say that's okay. Four Seasons, Punta Mita, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico was... Wow. The most fantastic hotel I've ever stayed in on a location that is as tropical as you can get. It's an hour outside of downtown Puerto Vallarta, so you don't have to deal with actual Puerto Vallarta, which is nice in its own way, but to get up there and be on the coast, Punta meaning point, Mitch, right there. So it is an amazing point of land pushing into the ocean there at that, and the hotel, I'm drooling right now wishing I could go back.
What made the hotel that great over other hotels?
It's Four Seasons. I mean, the luxury that Four Seasons does, I think for us folks here in the greater United States is maybe unparalleled. I mean, there's, some big New York, LA spots that luxury, but this was just almost a feeling of you're living in a mansion or you're living at home, and the service, I had to stand in line behind only one person, so I wasn't going to be in line long. I wasn't in line, and they're giving you a cool towel for your neck that's got a little eucalyptus in it, and they're always giving you drinks, and the food was amazing, and the accommodations inside the room, huge room, comfortable beds. We're sitting on the beach, and there's probably nobody within 100 yards of us on the beach. We're there in the shoulder season, and all of a sudden, this guy walks up. It's like one of those TV commercials where you see this waiter in the sand, kind of miragey through the ripply heat waves coming off the beach. And he gets clearer and clearer as he comes closer and closer with a tray in his hand. He hands us two little cups of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. It's amazing.
Can we go now?
Yes, please.
That sounds outstanding. Speaking of Ben and Jerry's, then, we want to know what's the single best thing you've ever eaten on a trip and where.
Great segue, Darren.
Wow.
That's what I do. I'm a pro.
All right. So, it wasn't for the meal itself. I don't really join golf resorts with meals. Maybe I haven't been to the right ones. But so, again, it was the context of it all. Years ago, I was covering the Tour de France for ESPN, start to finish, and hands down the best event I ever did. Doing the Tour de France, we're about halfway through, and we've got a rest day in Lourdes, and the holy town of Lourdes. So instead of going really where I should have gone, which was to the grotto or the grotte to get holy water and save myself from eternal sin, I go play golf. So it's an unspectacular course, a kind of crappy rental club somewhere, and just the sneakers I've been wearing covering the tour for a couple of weeks. So I got done, and afterward, I sat down, and I had a baguette with local sausage, some local cheese, some red wine, and the setting sun on the southern edge of France, and there was no way to recreate that anywhere. Story done.
Wow. You should do this for a living. That was pretty good. Tell that story, man. Tell that story.
All right.
Oh, that sounds fabulous, though. That's Darren, that could be one of the better answers in what have we done? 50 emergency nines? Or,
I mean, it's definitely right up there.
I love that. Mostly, I love that
it's the best.
I loved the more than that. I loved the fact that you passed on saving your soul to go play golf and then eat baguettes. You're my kind of guy. You're my kind of guy, pal. All right, moving on. Besides, now we know golf and people are an integral part of any golf trip, but when you go on a golf trip, what's the next most important thing to you? What else do you want to pay attention to?
Well, it's the same reason I go anywhere. And I was just on a little road trip last week. Top of the Rock in southern Missouri was part of it. But it's really why I travel. It's hoping to be and trying to plan to be unrushed, enjoying my surroundings, taking my golf blinders off, forgetting what just happened on the previous round or worrying about what's going to happen on the next round, finding a great meal or a place to sit for coffee, and just watching how that part of the world works and understanding, I'm going to go a little weird here, but it's understanding that each place we go to is unique and it has something to offer the rest of us. And I try to blend in while I'm there and try to really get the feel for what's there. And I think that's what travel's all about. And if golf can be part of that, all the better for me.
I'm crying. I'm about to cry. I think it's the first time I've cried during an answer of an emergency nine, Darren.
I've made you cry a lot, haven't I?
Yeah, for other reasons. This was actually because Lon said something meaningful.
I know you're that kind of guy. I know that's you, right? You like to do
Darren,
that.
This is why when Lon and I did billiards together, we could never get through a show because we just kept making each other cry.
You were too busy being touching and introspective?
Well, we'd be sitting in separate like broadcast booths across from each other, but we would tell these stories that just touched our hearts. It was a beautiful thing, really.
It was. We will never forget. We're actually, Darren, we're being buried together. Ava doesn't know that, but we're being buried together.
You know, I had forgotten about that till just now.
Yeah, that's a whole, I got it in writing. And scotch.
Those drunken nights in Santa Rosa.
All right, guys, moving on. Question number 6 of the emergency 9. What's the one piece of golf apparel or equipment you can't live without?
All right. Well, it's kind of a tough one because I do travel without anything. I went last week with only my shoes. So I'm going to make this become a airing of grievances and a pet peeve of mine.
You were wearing clothes when you say you own your
shoes. I was, but they weren't. I do have special golf clothes, but I live without them because I've got my 200. But no, it's. I always have to have, and I do get a little crazy looking for it and trying to find something to do it. It's a ball mark repair tool. All right, it drives me crazy to see unrepaired marks on the green. And it's so ungolf-like, people out there. Pay attention. Look for your mark. Some greens don't make a mark. Fine. But repair yours and one other one. All right? So my ball repair tool.
Wow. It sounds like we need to get Lon in touch with good friend Tim Alpa, who makes hand-carved ball repair tools that Mitch and I both use. And they're outstanding.
Are they really? Where is he?
We got you covered.
It's on the website.
We'll take care of it. Right. We'll take care of it.
Was that a bad answer? I mean, that's all
no,
right.
No, that was perfect.
What are other people answer? Do they say they're non-cleated shoes? I do have golf socks, and I don't know why, and you probably have some too. They say left and right on them. What? Are golfers so stupid?
Wait, you have socks that say left and right? Golf socks?
They say left and right.
I have a pair of those too.
Oh my God.
Nike and Adidas. They say left and right. And then when I'm putting, and I've got two pairs that are the same color. And like with socks, you just go, the same color, and you mix, you know, throw them in there. And then what happens? I'm on the golf course the next time unraveling my socks. And yeah, I got two left feet.
Well, possibly that's why they put those letters on the socks.
Well, but
I've never had those. I've never had that problem, and I've never had a pair of socks. Thinking back, it said left and right on him. I can't believe both of you had those.
That picture of you in your Adirondack chair on the edge of the coast, you don't have any socks.
That's correct. That's probably why I don't have to deal with this issue.
me neither, most part.
No, that was a great answer. I love that. All right, moving on. Your game. Now, I have played with you. I know you're a great athlete, going all the way back to your baseball days. Your handicap, how do you feel about playing? When you go to, like, you went to Big Cedar Lodge, you went to Top of the Rock. When you go to play someplace, do you go straight to a certain tee? Do you say, who am I playing with? Do you say, hey, maybe I'll try it from these tees? Give us the kind of the breakdown of your handicap and what yardages you like to play from.
It's going to, a lot of times, I'm a very social golfer. I golf alone a lot, actually. I go out alone and just hook up with people who are there, and I'll just say what they're doing. If they're being, like, I played with some first-timers. It felt like they were first-timers a couple of weeks ago. It was kind of torture, but, you know, they wanted hip way up, so I went ahead and I'll play the tips once in a while. If I want to see the whole course, if I just want to feel like I'm challenging myself, if I feel like I've been playing enough recently where I can keep the ball and in the middle or somewhere in the fairway. But it's, you know, I find a lot of the courses that you're going to have access to, there's not that much difference. Yeah, there's going to be some longer shoots from the tips that you have to hit through some tunnels once in a while, but mostly not. It's just going to be a little longer. You know, maybe take a little club. You know, I do like to test myself and improve my game. But generally, I'll probably be just one end from the tips. I guess oftentimes that's the blacks. My index right now is 10.4. I had it single digits once in my life, and then like a month later, I had knee surgery, and I'm working my way back. So I like to play with the people I'm playing with, and often when I'm out there alone, I'll just join them wherever they are on their tees.
Good answer. Makes sense.
Yep, definitely. We talked in the previous podcast that you had played golf with Phil Hellmuth once. We want to know, who is the most interesting person you've ever golfed with?
Oh, this is easy. I still golf with him. And just as an aside, for some reason, I attract left-handed golfers. I don't know what it is. I have three of my best friends in the world that I golf with. They're all left-handed. So, but the most interesting person I've ever golfed with, and I just played a 3-day tournament with him last weekend. His name is Bill Davies. I'm really lucky to know him. He is my son's father-in-law, and he lives very near me. I moved to this area where I am now when my son was just getting a new girlfriend. He lives in LA, not Louisiana. And so turns out they ended up getting married, and her parents live like 15 minutes from me. So it's wonderful, and they're wonderful people. We get along great. His wife, Susie, and he belonged to this little mountain country club for decades up here called Cold Springs Country Club. And Bill is a workout nut. He just retired recently, but he had a job that took him into Sacramento. And even though we're a little out of the way, there's still traffic. And so he would go to work like at 4 a.m. So he'd get up at 2 a.m. to work out for a couple hours, and loves to challenge himself. So he played and lived and breathed golf for so long. I mean, he'd go up in his workout room, he must have 50 TaylorMade hats because TaylorMade is his thing. And just, you name it, just clubs and balls, everything golf. And it got to the point where he was needing something new, something that no one else might try. He wanted to challenge himself. That's what Bill does. So Bill decided he had had enough of being a right-handed golfer. And he trained himself to play left-handed. And now he's been a lefty for many years. I don't know how many. Well before I knew him, he switched over. And he's still a very good golfer. Not real long, but he's got an amazing short game. I talked to other folks in the club, and they shake his head and said, "Hey, that's Bill." You know, so it's amazing. I had no idea he was right-handed before, and I've never met anyone who's had to do that on purpose.
That's insane. Mitch and I get a lot of grief from people who think we're crazy for, you know, switching from modern clubs to hickories. But man, to change hands, that's, I can't even imagine. I've tried to hit it left-handed, and it's a hopeless.
I know. I've never talked about how long it took him, but and now he says, I don't even know if I could go back to right-handed. But it's a lot of fun. He's a great character.
Isn't that amazing?
But such generous people.
All right, moving on to number 9. What is the one, and I love this because we often find some real, when we say hidden gems, these are where we find them. What's the one golf course that you wish everyone knew about?
Well, I hope nobody else finds out about it, but I will be a generous person because it has become my new favorite club. I'm going to say up here in Northern California, but I almost anywhere that I played, it was so special. Maybe because I felt like I didn't discover it, but I finally decided to go to it. It's called Yokut Dahi Golf Club, and
excuse me,
it's not far. Yokut Dahi. It's a Native American lands up there. It's actually on the same property and attached to and owned by the Native American tribe that owns Cache Creek Casino. C-A-C-H-E, Cache Creek Casino in Northern California. probably a hour and a half or so, kind of west northerly from Sacramento. And the casino, oddly enough, for me, I've never even been to the casino. The course is so beautiful, but the facilities are amazing. The practice facilities are incredible and generous and just hit all the balls you want. It is lush, but it's kind of mountain deserty type, a bit of a trek to get to, but it is well worth it. If you go online and just look at the pictures of this course, you'll agree with me, and you have to go to it. It is just super tremendous. I went there 1 year just on a Thanksgiving day because Thanksgiving is not one of my favorite holidays. But I got away to play golf and had a turkey sandwich, a beer on the course, and felt like it might have been the best Thanksgiving I ever spent.
Wow. And Mitchell, here's how things come full circle. I have played poker at Cache Creek Casino.
But not golf?
No, I've played the golf course a number of times too. And it is everything you say. It is carved out of some very interesting land out there, and it's just it's a fun place. And it's actually, again, I travel, as people of the podcast who listen to the podcast know, I travel back and forth from California up to Oregon quite a bit. And I kind of take a back way that actually runs me right past Cache Creek.
There is a road that goes by it. I didn't know.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a shortcut if you're heading from the I-5 across over to the coast. So, okay, so time permitting, we always say for our bonus question, and we have the time. We would like you to tell us your best golf course story. What's the coolest, weirdest, craziest thing you've ever seen or done on a golf course?
Well, it's kind of cool for me. Probably nobody else. That's what all prefaces.
You let us be the judge of that.
Got it. Okay. So back in the heyday of the World Series of Poker, we would get a lot of sports celebs and movie celebs coming to play in the main event. And most of the time they were sponsored by one of the online companies. Jason Alexander, George Costanza from Seinfeld. I've become not a friend, but we like each other. And acknowledge each other. And so he was the Poker Stars, sponsored pro. Well, 1 year I noticed, as I look over the start list, the thousands of people that were coming to play, Paul Azinger was coming out to play. And so I made it a point to kind of hang around his table. He looked up, he was a poker fan, he recognized me, and we started talking. And then I'd visit with him and kind of be his mental coach for a couple of days. Didn't seem like he had anybody else there. So started talking to him, knew that he liked poker. Turns out that he lives south of Tampa. I'll give the address on the website later. But but a friend of mine who was a tournament director at the World Series knew him as well. And so he brought me down to play at a room he was running, a poker room he was running in Sarasota, Florida. Well, Azinger was there. We got to know each other. So come World Series the next year, July, we're trying to get Zinger onto the course. And I will say Zinger. Yes, I call him Zinger. And so we want to play Cascada. And Paul has not played in, several months. Because at the time, this is July, I forget the year, he was currently the captain of the Ryder Cup team. And so he had a bad back. He hadn't played golf. And he finally, we talked him into it. So he's got rental clubs. He's got New Balance running shoes on. He hadn't played in a while. He's on the driving range. I'm right next to him. And he's hitting the top of the ball. He's topping every ball. I go, what's up? You haven't played in a while, but you're a pro. He says, he likes to drive people crazy. He says, that's how he knows where the bottom of his club is. He always likes to know where the bottom of his club is. So if he's hitting the ball below the ball, taking a divot, he's not exactly sure where the club, how deep it's going. But if he can hit the top of the ball consistently, he knows where the bottom of his club is, which I guess is important. So as it turns out, I get to sit in the cart with him. So I spend all day in the cart with Paul Azinger a month before he's going to go captain the Ryder Cup team. He's on the phone with all the team members the whole time. He hasn't played in months, and the guy shoots 68. On Cascada. But as a kicker, And again, I'll just toot my own horn. I shot 76 that day playing next to Paul Eisinger on Kiskot. And I was so proud. And it was an amazing day.
I'm speechless because pretty much now I don't think we can play together anymore.
Although you're now required.
Although I do top my shots. So I have that.
Yeah,
I have that in common. Yeah.
We will expect a 76 from you all the time now.
I know, right? Oh gosh.
How cool. How cool. So yeah, did you have any insight into the Ryder Cup that year?
Yeah, well, what he was trying to do, because they hadn't won the Ryder Cup at that point forever, right? So he kept bouncing ideas back and forth because he wanted to do team building activities or things that would bond the team together. He was reading books by Pat Riley when he was coaching the Lakers during Showtime, and Riley was a big, you know, team building kind of guy. And one of the things that stuck out to me says, I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to get to the hotel before all the players do and put Saran wrap over all the toilet seats.
That's good team building.
That was the one thing that stuck out in my mind that Paul Eisinger wanted to do. And I guess it worked, right?
Perfect. Yeah, everybody talked about that year. Everybody talked about the pods, that he would use pods to group the team.
Yeah, he was talking about that.
But it's really now, thanks to your insight and kind of, you know, undercover friendship with Eisinger, we know that the Saran wrap on the toilets is, that's clearly what did it.
And then Euro guys went to it as well. And that made all the difference to them. The Polish team was putting actually tin foil over the top. It didn't work as well.
Oh, geez, you had to go there. I was going to say the European team put it over the bidets, which didn't work as well.
Exactly.
All right. Well, clearly we've had some fun. We've learned some things. Hopefully our listeners have learned some things as well. Did you have fun? That's really the main thing.
I had a ball. I mean, it's all been right. The greatest 5 hours of my life. Good luck editing.
Yeah, thanks for that pro-like, you know, contribution to our afternoon. Mister, I've done TV for 25 years.
We'll get it posted sometime around the final table of the World Series this year.
Go. There you go. July 18th, that will end, and so we'll be right on time.
Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks a million for spending a couple hours with us here, and I'm sure we'll have you back at some point. I'll talk to Darren about it, but I'd like to have you on again. I don't know how he feels.
I really can't wait.
All right, thanks. Safe travels. A reminder, of course, you can find Lon on Twitter at LONMCEACHERN. Of course, pronounced McCarran. Thanks a million. Darren, what can I say? Thanks to you, you haggis bag, you.
Well, it was a lot of fun. I always like going down memory lane with you and your buddies. And so it was good. It's another person who now I can befriend and just basically cut you out of the equation. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to hook up with Lon. We're going to play some golf here in California.
Trust me.
Take the dogs out, and it's going to be fun.
Trust me. After I talk to Lon when we get off here, he'll never want to see you.
He'll be like so many other people.
Trust me. Trust me. All right. Wait. Thanks to you, our listeners. Couldn't do without you. Follow us on social media. Rate us on iTunes. Help us spread the word about the best in golf travel. Obviously, Lon McCarran has dreamed a lot of dreams, and he's accomplished a lot of them as well. We hope you do, too. Take it away, Tom Petty. So long.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.